Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up-to-date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good Monday afternoon on this feast day of St. Finan of Lindisfarne. He was an Irish monk who trained at Iona in Scotland, became the second bishop of Lindisfarne from 651 until his death in 661. In today's episode, Rachel Lustig will tell us about the hope and help that Catholic Social Services provides. In Kevin's conversation, he'll talk to Gary Irvine, an Irishman who followed his heart and his wife to Columbus, and he'll talk about the balancing of volunteerism and family. St. Cecilia is in our parish spotlight, and we'll learn how to keep motivated after a conference from Steve Helmrich. First up, though, let's get to know Damon Owens, a speaker at this year's Men's Conference. Men, be a man of courage. Come to the Catholic Men's Conference on March 1st to hear some great speakers this year. One of those speakers is Damon Owens. Damon and his wife Melanie have been teaching natural family planning since 1993 and served as NFP program coordinators for the Archdiocese of Newark. Damon currently lives outside of Philadelphia with his wife Melanie and their eight children. He's published numerous articles, appeared on radio and television programs, and produced three different series for EWTN. Let's listen as correspondent Carrie Migalski talks with Damon about what the men can look forward to hearing at the conference on March 1st.
Can you give us a little bit of a glimpse of what you'll be sharing with the men of Columbus at the conference?
All good news, of course, and again, I'm very excited to be back in the Columbus area. The theme of the conference, be a man of courage, is such an essential theme to our faith, and I hope to kick the conference off really by just laying the framework of what it means to be an authentic father and husband, but more even zooming out of just the vocation, literally the calling of manhood that's expressed in everything that Christ himself revealed about who he is, who God is, and who he revealed about what does it mean to be a man. So we have this beautiful story to tell as Christians and as Catholics, and it's more than just something abstract or distant. It's very real. It's very sensual. It's very touching, and it affects every element of our lives.
Why do you feel it's important for men to come out and step out in courage and to hear some of these things on how they can become the husband and fathers that God intended them to be?
Yeah, it's wonderful. There's so many things going on in the culture now, and I'm not a culture basher. I'm in the world. I love the world. God created it, and everything God created is good. And we can get despairing sometimes looking at all the really just the filth that's happening in our culture. But the real truth is that there's a beauty, and rediscovering the beauty and truth of who we are is really the core of every man. And in that sense, whatever age, whatever time brings forth that just either turns our stomach or, really just makes us, in some sense, despairing of what can be good, returning back to the good and the beautiful and the true is how we restore not just our sense, but really our hope and recognizing what we have to do today as a man in order to really bring about the good.
Kerry also asked about his work with the Theology of the Body Institute.
Yeah, I'm the executive director of the Theology of the Body Institute, and we're dedicated as a lay Catholic apostolate, really as an educational foundation teaching these fundamentals. Really, this in basketball, you've got dribbling and shooting and passing. You got fundamentals to know how to play the game in your own style and in your own unique way. Well, there are fundamental truths about what it means to be a human person. And there's some rich theology, meaning study of God. There's some beautiful philosophy, love of wisdom. But all this stuff can be known and understood by everyone, regardless of what you feel, your education or your background or even your faith formation. We're speaking about the truth about what it means to be a human person, and what flows from that is really a dignity. Recognizing a dignity of bodiliness, of our bodies, of our souls, of our uniqueness as persons. But key, the theology of the body offers a rediscovery of the dignity of masculinity and femininity.
Where can someone get more information on the Theology of the Body Institute and natural family planning?
So the Theology of the Body Institute, you can reach us at TOB, our website, TOBInstitute.org, and you can reach at DamonOwens.com and find out more information about natural family planning. The beauty of natural family planning really is that it's practical, it's effective, it's understanding the beauty of our call to motherhood and to fatherhood.
Thank you, Damon.
Oh, my privilege. Look forward to seeing all the men in Columbus, Ohio on March the 1st.
For more information on a Columbus Catholic Men's Conference March 1st, visit www.columbuscatholicmen.com. St. Gabriel Trumpet's Kevin Lowry sat down with Rachel Lustig, the president and CEO of Catholic Social Services here in Columbus, and talked to her about the mission of the organization and her involvement.
This is Kevin Lowry for St. Gabriel's Trumpet, and today I'm here with Catholic Social Services president and CEO, Rachel Lustig. Rachel, welcome.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Rachel, you're relatively new to this role. Tell those of us who aren't as familiar with Catholic Social Services a little bit about the mission of the organization.
Sure. Catholic Social Services serves the poor of the Diocese of Columbus. We do that by strengthening families through our counseling and anti-domestic violence programs. We help seniors to age with grace by working with them to stay in their homes longer, and we also provide emergency assistance in areas of need, particularly to the growing Hispanic population and to our brothers and sisters in some of the poorer areas of the diocese like Portsmouth.
Wow. That was extremely well articulated. I just want everybody to know she didn't even read that. That was just completely off the cuff. Excellent. Very well said. So, okay, how is it that you got involved in this, and what is it that really motivates you? How do you know when you come to work that Catholic Social Services is really doing a good job for the community?
Well, you know, I got involved because Catholic Social Services cares for the poor as an expression of our faith, and that, I believe, is absolutely our vocation as Christians, or it's my vocation. It's the way that I have the deepest expression of living out who we are. What is beautiful about doing the work of caring for the poor for the church is that we are encouraged, called to see God in the person that we have the capacity to serve. So not only do we want them to have a better future, enough to eat, access to the types of services that make it possible for their family to be safe and have a better tomorrow and be stable, but we also want them to feel the fullness of God's love. And so us being a partner, a mentor, a Christian is an important part of how we live out our faith and how we live out our mission as Catholic Social Services.
So have you seen the ability of Catholic Social Services to really make a difference in people's lives? And could you maybe share a story, an example?
Absolutely. I had the opportunity to sit down across the table with a woman named Michelle. She's one of our clients in our domestic violence program. Michelle grew up in a family of domestic violence. So when she got married, she kind of thought that that was just the way that things worked. Well, she found herself in a situation of being overweight and at the doctor, really, that hearing, you've got to make some significant changes or else this is going to end your life, your unhealthy habits. And so she did. She started to lose weight. And as she lost weight, the violence escalated. Michelle finds herself in a situation where she decides, you know what? I need out or else I'm going to die. In fact, what went through her mind was, I would rather be killed than stay in this situation any longer. To me, that is the most raw expression of what hope is. And we as Catholic Social Services were able to be there with Michelle through our Pathways to Hope program. We've been working with her for a year. She's been trained as a dental hygienist. She has a safe house for her daughter and herself. And we'll be there as a friend and mentor for the next year to make sure that she's able to make this transition to stability become a reality for herself and her daughter into the future.
Wow, what a story. Well, hopefully we'll have people praying for her. And Rachel, we'll pray for you as well. Thank you so much for your time today.
For more information about Catholic Social Services and to find out how you can help, you can visit their website at www.colscss.org. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. I'm your host, Chip Stalter. For those of you who wondered why we highlighted an Irish saint on February 17th rather than wait until March 17th, it was in honor of our next guest. Kevin Lowry talks with Gary Irvine, a transplanted Irishman here in Columbus.
This is Kevin Lowry with St. Gabriel's Trumpet, and today I'm talking to Gary Irvine, who is a husband, a father of five, member of St. John Newman Parish, and all-around good guy. Gary, welcome.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for that introduction. Very humbling already.
So, now, Gary, you have an accent of some sort. Where is it that you hail from originally?
Well, Kevin, I'm originally from Northern Ireland. I moved to Columbus, Ohio in 2000, so I'm still working on my Central Ohio accent. But to this point, I've been here 14 years, and originally came from a small village in the north of Ireland.
So how is it that you went from Ireland to Columbus, Ohio?
Well, like many people in Ireland, we dream of coming to Columbus, Ohio. But my dream was more to do with my wife, Anne, who I had met. And she was very lucky, or maybe I was the one who was very lucky, but she definitely won the coin toss, and I ended up emigrating here to get married to Anne and start up life here and have a wonderful family.
Well, as a fellow foreigner, yes, being from Canada, coming down here for a beautiful American girl, I can completely understand. So, Gary, one of the things that's interesting that you and I had talked about before doing the show today was the fact that you have most recently volunteered for Catholic Social Services Board of Directors.
That's right.
So this is something that's new. You're just getting involved right now.
Yep.
What is it that motivated you to become involved, and why this particular organization?
It's a really good question, Kevin. You know, what was the motivation? Well, if I'm being perfectly honest, it was about a year ago when one of the board trustees approached me and asked, would I be interested in serving on the board? And I was in the middle of my MBA, and I think, like most people who are sometimes tapped on the shoulder, I went, I cannot take on another thing. And I used at the time, which was a lame excuse, was, I'm in the middle of my MBA, let me get through it, and then I'll reconsider. Well, the wonderful thing about Pete from the board was he was tenacious and came back and said, are you ready? Are you thinking about the board, when it came towards the end of my MBA? But the great thing that happened, since I was asked the question to the time when he asked the second time, it really made me reflect, as in, I've got a certain amount of discretionary time, and what do I want to do with it? And the MBA was something I wanted to do, but it was so much more for Gary and for Gary's career and all of those things, and resulted in quite a lot of sacrifice for Anne and the kids as I devoted my time there. With regards to CSS and Catholic Social Services and that opportunity, it made me realize this discretionary time should be devoted to others in their enrichment and not a self-centered. So when I reflected upon that, I said, no, I really want to do something that uses my talent but for the good of others. I think volunteering does start at home. You have to make sure that you have the support of family. And Anne very graciously, though, you know, she took a deep breath and said, okay, you just finished your MBA. Okay, how much time will this take and what would that look like? And once we discussed that, I think she realized that the mission of Catholic Social Services is a fundamentally wonderful Christian, good of others service that glorifies God in everything that it does.
Sure. And I've had those types of conversations before with my wife.
Yes.
This is Kevin Lowry from St. Gabriel's Trumpet, and today I'm speaking with Gary Irvine, a member of St. John Newman Parish. Now, Gary, one of the interesting things about you, you talk about how volunteerism really begins at home. One of the distinctive aspects of your home life is you have five young children.
That's correct.
Right? So how is it that you try to pass that along to them, especially at this young age? Because the oldest of your kids is how old now?
11.
11 years old.
Brand's 11
okay.
years old, yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Well, you know, it's funny, Kevin. Something that you can see the craziness of, you know, you've only so much discretionary time. Anne and I last year decided to do a half marathon, okay? And one of the comments that Anne's mother actually said to me at the time, she says, this is a wonderful example to your children as to having the discipline around exercise. And it was good in that context of exercise. But I feel that with Catholic Social Services, there's a different discipline at play here and gives me a teaching opportunity and an exposure opportunity for the children and I to have conversations around helping out the less fortunate.
So basically you're modeling the fact that it's important to dedicate some of your time and your talents because you have a human resources background. So
yes,
you're able to bring those gifts and those talents and skills to bear on this opportunity.
And I was very fortunate to be able to have that skill set that hopefully can help Catholic Social Services. But, you know, in the world of HR, you talk about, you know, everything rises and falls in leadership and how you walk that walk. Well, that's no different if you're a leader within a family, as a parent, being able to walk that same walk for your children.
Right. Wow, that's fantastic. So tell me, what else, how else does your faith impact your life on a day-to-day basis?
Wow, that's a good question. Day-to-day, faith has to be the cornerstone of what you do on a daily basis. I think, you know, some of the thought process around Opus Dei is very powerful in, you know, sanctifying each moment as you go along. And I think that's something that I've tried to figure out. How do I remain present with my faith in the whirlwind that is work day to day? Because it's so easy to get pulled off the tracks when you're in any given meeting. And I think just taking that pause at that moment, and that's definitely something that I have to work on perfecting, but it's something that I definitely want to be able to pursue. And linking back to the volunteering, when you're working with people with that same type of thought process, it makes that so much more achievable.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was speaking with Rachel Lustig, who you know is mm-hmm. the president and CEO of Catholic Social Services, and had a wonderful conversation with her. And she stressed two things that I thought were meaningful. One was prayer and the fundamental importance of the prayer life. And the second is community. And really, you're talking about that as well to a great extent, right?
Yeah. Those are two wonderful tenets as well. Of that, you know, being a convert yourself, you know that it's so much of conversions through people and that sense of community. And of right. course, you need that prayer and reflection time to be able to build the two upon each other.
Absolutely. Very complimentary. Well, Gary, thanks so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today. And best of luck as everything goes forward. You'll be in my prayers.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for the time.
This is Kevin Lowry for St. Gabriel's Trumpet.
Sue, got anything our listeners need to know about this week?
Got something for everyone this week, Chip. First, ProMusica presents Mozart's Great Mass and Concelli's Midday Prayers with the assistance of the Lancaster Chorale on two evenings, Saturday, February 22nd at 5:30 at the Pontifical College Josephinum on High Street, and 7 p.m. Sunday, February 23rd at the Southern Theater in Columbus. The Great Mass by Mozart is largely recognized as one of the composer's most ambitious choral pieces. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit promusicacolumbus.org. Then, Saturday, March 1st, St. Brendan's School in Hilliard will have their annual dinner and auction fundraiser, celebrating Mardi Gras, at the school at 4475 Dublin Road. Evening for adults includes hors d'oeuvres, dinner and dancing, silent and live auctions, and raffles. For tickets and for information, call Stacy Malone at 614-917-7151. For our youth, the annual youth rally for teens in the diocese will take place on Saturday and Sunday, March 8th and 9th, at St. Paul the Apostle in Westerville. The rally features Jesse Manabusen, a Christian music artist who was the MC at the National Catholic Youth Rally in 2013. The cost is only $65 and includes lunches, a dinner on Saturday, and a t-shirt. To register, contact your youth minister at your parish. Advanced registration is required. Doesn't that sound like a good time, Chip?
I'm not sure that we qualify to go to that event, but it does sound like a good time. It's no secret that once you leave a conference, whether it's a faith conference or just one for everyday work, that the feeling of enthusiasm that you have during the conference begins to wane once you hit the door. That Man's You is an interactive multimedia men's program focused on the development of authentic male leadership, and St. Joan of Arc Parish in Powell launched the program in 2012 to help combat this feeling of loss of enthusiasm. Steve Helmerich shares with correspondent Carrie Magowski how having a men's faith-sharing group like this has helped the lives of the men who participate.
So tell us how launching a program like That Man Is You at St. Joan of Arc Church in Powell has helped the men of your faith sharing group.
I could recall back to one of the first men's conferences that I went to. Truthfully, I went to the conference because I was told it wouldn't hurt. What I walked away with is I walked away with such a high of faith, my depth of what I wanted to do with my faith and enrich it was so high walking out of that conference But I didn't know where to turn. And I would say maybe a month later, I realized that my interest had diminished a bit. And a month after that, it had diminished even more so. And by the time I got to the 11th month and someone was saying, we got the conference coming back up again, I'm going, boy, I need to go back to this because I want to feel that high again in my faith. And so the second year, go to the conference. And what I realized after doing that a couple of times is I was missing 11 months. And so what we did at St. Joan of Arc is we started saying, we need to have programs that we can invite other men to come in and join and see if there's a way that we can keep that high continuing out through the 11 months that we have. That Man Is You is a program that seemed to answer a lot of that call.
What are some of the things that they can experience by participating in a program like this?
Well, what we find is men are almost one or the other. They either feel like they're repaired or they're broken. And for those who are repaired, they'll find an opportunity to share some of their experiences to help those that are broken. But for those who are broken, they'll find an opportunity to listen and hear other men who are in the same position, same shape that they are. And between the two of them, they'll be able to help and lift each other up and repair themselves.
Can someone find more information on launching a program like this, or maybe to find some of their parishes around the diocese that offer That Man Is You program?
Okay. Well, it's a pretty easy program to find. You can find that through almost any of your web search engines that are out there. Just go to thatmanisyou.org, and you're going to find Paradisus Dyke shows up. Gwen, you can look at all the different parishes across the United States that are offering the program. What the heck? Maybe even tie in one of your friends into one of those programs in another state. But for here, right in the Columbus area, we've got Resurrection, Our Lady of Peace. We've got St. Brendan's, St. Timothy's, St. Patrick's, Blessed Sacrament, Joan of Arc, not to mention the next five or six that are going to be signing up here in the next couple of months.
For more information on bringing this dynamic leadership program to your parish, you can search online for That Man Is You or search the Men's Conference on March 1st for Steve Helmrich. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly on AM 820 St. Gabriel Radio. Join the community of St. Cecilia's Catholic Church for a special presentation and book signing on Sunday, February 23rd at 4 p.m. by Greg Wasinski, a nationally recognized Catholic speaker and author of Where the Faith and Real Life Come Together. Our own Carrie Migalski caught up with Greg to talk to him about the presentation.
Can you give us a little bit of a preview on what you'll be sharing about your own life story and your faith journey?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me on, Carrie. And, you know, it's so interesting in the way that we have so many opportunities to evangelize and to ask Catholic Christians, not only in our hometowns or in our communities, but, you know, all across the world to be able to share their faith. My trip down to St. Cecilia's will be around my book, Where Faith and Real Life Come Together. And, you know, the talk in the book are really kind of to take our everyday encounters with God. I don't think that we always need to tell people what God can do for them as much as we need to just show them when God has already done it. You know, the talk is one that is for all ages. It really touches a chord with the senior community all the way back down to our middle school generation to really cross those platforms of not pertaining to one audience or the other, but to try to get everybody involved, to let us know that, you know, we are the church, we are the community, we are the ones that are in this together. And it's only by lifting each other up that we're going to be able to reach that final destination. And this is our opportunity to come together. With a talk like this, it allows us to see that parents and families alike can now begin to have discussions when they leave. They can go home knowing that, hey, maybe I don't have all the answers, or maybe I don't understand everything that's being preached to me on Sunday or everything that the catechism says, but you know what? I've opened a new door with God today, and I know that first and foremost, I want to begin to build on that relationship and find new ways to encounter Him.
Well, it sounds like you're doing wonderful work. Where can someone find out more information about your work?
They can go to the website, which is faithandreallife.com. On there, you can kind of read a little bit more about my story. I was actually a business executive for most of my life, and in 2005 got into radio and was just doing some things with my life, but really not giving the glory to God. And in 2008, God asked me to really switch gears, and I got into ministry full-time, gave up that life as a corporate executive. And so now I travel the country as an inspirational speaker and author in the Catholic Church, and it is something that I wouldn't trade for the world. So the website actually has a lot of information, not only about me and the services that I provide to communities across the country, but it also has a podcast. I have a Lenten video series coming out Ash Wednesday, first week of March, as well as an inspirational insight each and every day where I take a real life quote, if you would, or even some scripture reference, and I'll sit down and I'll write an actual one paragraph reflection for the reader to be able to sit back, maybe apply it to their own life, and then find a way that they can go out that day and just make that one little change that allows them to grow deeper in their faith.
Well, it sounds very inspiring. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to hearing more from you at St. Cecilia's Church on Sunday, February 23rd.
God bless you. I look forward to being there, and I hope to see all your listeners there.
For more information on this event, contact St. Cecilia Church at 614-878-5353. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We'll be back next Monday at noon with a brand new episode. If you have a story idea or event or something really crazy good going on at your parish that you want the world to know about, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the St. Gabriel's Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.